Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
When you end up moving from failures to forgiveness and from frustrations to forgetting, now you can move forward in the future, not by that fear, but by faith. You know what? I can move forward. I can be in a place, God, that rather than saying, all right, what's going to happen, the what ifs, it's in a place to say, God, now as a Christian, positionally, I'm in Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
The Bible uses the word fear regularly in Scripture. There are two different terms for it. One of those fears is the area of a fear as a reverential awe or respect for God. That term fear is in the Bible. Now, it can be transferred into a fear of paralyzing, gripping fear that's the Bible says is not what you need. It's going to be harmful and damaging to you. People live with fear of losing their wealth, fear of losing their health, fear of loss of their job, fear of something that won't ever happen. Does the Bible talk about fear? It does much. Rather than describe fear and try and define it for you, I want to use it out of the life, one life, the life of Jacob. The topic of fear would be way beyond what I can accomplish. And so I want to narrow it down to the area of fear in the area of relationships. Because God desires for every Christian to live by faith, not fear. People all through the ages of history have fought their fears in one way or another. And the only thing that'll really conquer fear is faith in the Lord. The just shall live by faith. And I'd like to illustrate this by the life of Jacob. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 32. I believe if you are going to move forward in your life by faith, you need to conquer the area of fear. I want to take an overview of this and give me a moment here and set the stage for the life of Jacob, because I think it's important. Because fear itself will cripple you. You as a Christian, understand, listen to me. Fear is like sand in the engine of your life. Faith is like oil that will lubricate your life. Jacob had a grandfather. What was his name? Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. He is known by faith. Abraham had a son. What was his name? Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac. And then Jacob comes along. Jacob had a brother. What was his name? Esau. Jacob and Esau were twins. And by the time the age of 40 years came around, they had already had some struggle in their own relationships. All three of these men are named as men of faith at the end of their life. So Jacob is a man that lived by faith. But throughout his life, he lived by his feelings. He's a great illustration of the two natures. Of a man living by the Spirit of God and man living by his flesh. A man living by faith, man living by his feelings. There are many times that Jacob lived by his feelings. At one point in time, his brother came in from the field, Esau, a great hunter, brought food. He was so hungry that his brother, Jacob, the manipulator, the supplanter, deceived and said, hey, listen, yeah, you hungry? All right, listen, I got this beautiful food right here. Let me give it to you. But either way, give me your birthright. And Esau, a profane man, the Bible says, did it. He got so torqued that he started talking to others about the fact he's going to wipe out Jacob, and Jacob felt real burdened to leave. And that's exactly what he did. For 20 years, Jacob left. Remember the story? And for 20 years now, he had two wives, not just one. He got two. Do you remember? Rachel and Leah. But God's hand was still on him. And that's where you find now Jacob, who says, Esau, I'm sending him messengers, 400 people that return with a message from his brother Esau. And what is Jacob's response? You know what it is? It's one of fear. It's one of being upset. You will end up finding the entrance of that fear comes from our past, our present, our future. Notice in the present, the frustrations that end up coming that we live with every day, many times as Jacob was distressed, he was upset. And the reason was because in the future, there was a fear. He was under torment and he is fearful. And the failure that is haunting him is creating him presently be upset. And in the future, he's living in torment, all of this in his relationships. The unresolved conflict in the past that is creating unbearable pressures in the present. And in the future, he's living in fear. Anytime you look at the past and you have unresolved conflicts and failures are not dealt with, I'm telling you, it's going to skew how you see things. All of this leads a person to be limiting what God really wants them to end up doing. This is why some people as well end up looking at their life and they want to step out, but they say, you know, I blew it once. I don't want to blow it again. I find many a teenager that's afraid to end up making decisions for God because they look back and they go, you know, I made this promise to God that I was going to read my Bible and I didn't read my Bible, so they just don't at all. I made a promise to God that I'm going to get out and do something for God. And then they mess up and they blow it and they're living in sin. And so, you know what? I'm just saying, I do anything else for God. Do you see how it can get larger and larger in a person's life rather than God giving a person the hope and freedom? Because many times fear, as one person has simply defined it, is fear is false evidence appearing real. Listen, we start having false evidence and taking and putting it all together and it starts appearing real that it's going to happen. Many people today are moved by the what ifs. What if? Oh, what if we do this? This is going to happen. What if we do that? This is going to happen. And pretty soon a person gets balled up into little just as Jacob was, and now he begins to manipulate and move. The great thing is the Bible does not just say, all right, here's how it is. How do we eliminate it? Let me tell you how you eliminate this very simply and very quickly. Let me give you an overview, then we'll expand it a little bit. Really, it starts in relationships. Gain forgiveness from the past. Take the handle of failure out of the life and put yourself in a place of understanding the love of God, the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ. And we start with forgiveness by God for us in our own life. We don't have to repay all of this, but in our relationships with others, it might end up meaning repaying back to something that someone has done. Many times people get stuck in the past and they live that way forever. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what they said to me. And you know what? Life moves on, and there are people that are still living in the past because something that someone did to them, and that person's totally forgot it, and you haven't, and every time you see them, you think about it. And Christian, I'm telling you, that's the very thing that becomes an anchor in your own soul. And somewhere along the line, just as God has forgiven you, you've got to give that to other people. That's exactly what the verses I have jotted down, multiple verses, 1 John 1:9, Psalms 32, Psalms 51, all of those are dealing with the love of Christ. But when you move on, now in the present, rather than living in your failures, you gain forgiveness. And rather than living in your frustration, you learn to forget. That repentance that comes, that's Philippians 3:13, you forget those things that are behind, not only your successes, as Paul was referring to, but also your failures. Say, God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, God, you've given that to me. When you end up moving from failures to forgiveness and from frustrations to forgetting, now you can move forward in the future, not by that fear, but by faith. And that faith that comes, as 2 Timothy 1:7, you don't live in a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now you say, God, you know what? I can move forward. I can be in a place, God, that rather than saying, all right, what's going to happen, the what ifs, it's in a place to say, God, now as a Christian, positionally, I'm in Christ. The faith can be like the oil that lubricates life to say, okay, Lord, I'm moving forward. And just as Jacob moved forward, there were some things that Jacob had to do. How did he eliminate the fear? And in closing, let me help you understand that this is what happens. Just as Jacob, verse 9, notice the Bible says, when Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, this is what happened. Very simply, first of all, he remembered God. You say, Pastor, I don't want to live in that fear. I want to live by faith. I don't want to be in a place, be living in fear. And what do you do? Rather than being tormented, First of all, remember God. Notice what he says in Genesis 32. He said, and Jacob said, and in a loud voice, it's not stated in scripture, but it's implied when he cried out, oh God of my father Abraham. He says again in verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. And what he perceived to be a problem, he did remember God. He cried out to him. There's something about a cry for help that everyone respects and everyone listens to. I don't have time to develop it, but please understand that the Bible says there's something about praying and there's something about crying out. And when a person in fear cries out, as Isaiah 49, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Psalms 102 states the same thing, that when a person, as Jacob, cried out, realized, I am in a problem, I need help. Who would not stop and say, God, please, I need your help. You say, how do I eliminate that fear? You've got to remember God. You've got to cry out to him. And number two, on a practical basis, you've got to quote the promises of his word over the feelings of the moment. That's what the psalmist says in Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And those moments when, you know what? God, I just don't know. If I do this, and what's going to happen? If I do that, what's going to happen? I make this decision, and what is going to come in place? Hey, my husband's gone, or my wife's gone, or this situation seems like I just don't know what else to do. You cry out to God with a loud voice, and then in those times when you feel like you're being bombarded with things from the past, that barbed wire memories dragging through your mind, leaving scarred thoughts of others and yourself, that you say, God, I'm going to dwell on you. That's what the power of God's word does, my friend. You begin quoting those verses, and you're not just saying, I'm not going to think about this. You are now quoting that scripture. I find for most people, the most difficult times for people living in fear are those times late at night. They're laying there, and those thoughts are running through their mind and events of the day, and then like an anchor that drops in the bottom of their life, like an anvil landing on their head, they begin thinking, well, what if? And those what ifs that end up tormenting them, rather than saying, God, as your child, I'm going to begin quoting this scripture. And when you end up doing that, then it moves you by remembering God as well. You begin eliminating that torment by seeing his love, and you see it at the cross. One person said that feelings are never true. They play with their mirrors. We have a tendency to take our mirrors and move it to positions in which now it seems like the whole world is crashing down on us. Everything is falling apart. Rather than saying, God, you do know. You know about my physical condition. You know about those finances. And God, I am by faith believing if I'm not living in sin and I'm living serving you, then God, you will end up blessing and honoring your word. And that fear has torment. Fear is like the handle in Satan. And every time we begin fearing, Christian, you put that handle right into his hand. He starts moving you wherever he wants to take you. And that puts you in a place to start making wrong choices and wrong decisions, and it only complicates life. And that's why the very start of this, remembering God by understanding, God, I accept your love and forgiveness. You might be here today and you've never accepted Christ's love and forgiveness on the cross of Christ. You've never come to him as a child of God. You've never taken him as your Savior. And I'm going to tell you, you're driven by fear and it will constantly complicate your life.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.